This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Backspin Golf here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 on this Sunday morning. And it's a huge, huge Sunday in the world of golf. We got the final round of the Tour Championship at Eastlake, obviously, today. And then Captain Davis Love III with his 12th and final pick for the U.S. Ryder Cup team. And we're going to deal with that a little later in the show as Dan Houser will join me. And he's not happy. I'm not happy. We'll get into that a little bit later. Perry French will join me this morning, as he always does. And then a new guest on the show, but somebody who's had a tremendous amount of success in this area, in the world of golf, and that's Coach Pat Stevens of the EKU Colonels men's golf team. This is his 20th year as the head coach there. I'm very excited to speak with him and find out. They're a phenomenal golf program over there. They've already won the first two tournaments they've played in this year. They're deep. They're very talented, a great group of kids, and Coach Stevens is awesome as well. Real quickly, whatever happens today at Eastlake is not going to affect Davis Love's pick for the Ryder Cup team. I'm just saying that right now. And Dan Houser and I will get into this. A lot of people think he's had his mind made up for a while, regardless of who plays well at the Tour Championship, even somebody that might win that's a potential candidate for the Ryder Cup. But I think he's had his mind made up for a while. And if that's so, what is the point? What's the point of this team this upcoming week in Minnesota to play for the Ryder Cup, which, as everybody knows, we pretty much get trashed all the time? If we have the same guys on the team and we're not using this as kind of a to see who's the hottest player and put them on the team. If Davis Love already has his mind made up, and he invited guys Monday to play a practice round there. Other guys that were playing, they thought, for a spot are not happy. This could be a total disaster, and we won't know till it wraps up next week. Anyway, we'll be right back with Perry French. Thanks for listening to Backspin on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Wow. Wow, Perry French. I'm excited. I'm really excited. Hi, Perry French.
Good morning.
I'm really excited because there's so much going on, and we'll get to this towards the end of the show. You're going to the Ryder Cup. Thanks for inviting me, by the way. Next week, we're going to talk to you from the Ryder Cup. We'll be doing the show live. We could have done the whole show live from the golf course if I had been there with you.
That
I don't know if you thought about that. Obviously not.
There's still time. You can make a last-minute ticket.
If I started driving now, I could get to Chaska by, I don't know, Thursday, maybe.
It's a little bit of a ways.
But what we're going to talk about today here on Backspin Golf, two things. I'm going to set the scene, which we don't ever do. And chances are we'll deviate from this because that's what we do when we talk. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the launch of the new wedge, which is a huge jump forward in improvement in technology.
Right.
Okay. And then I'm going to explain to you the European Tour schedule came out for next year. They have created an event that's going to be played in Australia that has never been done before. And I want to talk to you about this and get your thoughts on what it is. But first, let's start with the launch of the new Cleveland wedge.
RTX 3 is the
This is not a character from Star Wars or anything.
Third generation of the RTX Rotex Face story. And it's a significant design improvement from generational wedges. Cleveland started making wedges back in 79, Roger Cleveland and company. This is a wedge.
Universally, yeah. You get some argument from another company, but the best wedges,
in the history of
Cleveland
wedges,
wedges
as a specific product, right. Most sold. There's hands down, if you go back again, by brand, by name, right. By product story, this is the Cleveland wedge has been the most sold in the game of golf.
Okay.
It's just the top of the product line offering in any unit category because it's maintained it for
so long.
35, right. 36 years. 37 years.
7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the big story is this. We took some weight out of the hosel. Wedge hosels are typically longer because of the length of the club and creating an overall balance for the club. So by making this decision to move weight out of the hosel and repositioning it into the head, we've termed the technology feel balancing. So we move weight and put it into where the center of gravity now is much closer to the center of the golf club. When we design irons and drivers and fairways and hybrids, there's always the center of gravity and the
right.
center of
that's
the golf.
Goal
what is the
is
sweet
to
spot?
Hit it
right
on the sweet spot.
Well,
there.
With the wedge, it's not the case. It never has been the case. The wedge, the CG has always been inside. Always been in seat, and so better players know this, and they
closer
find
the
it
heel.
Towards closer to the heel. It's
right.
A little dangerous when you get a little too close to the heels.
Yeah.
We know. But for most of us, we end up hitting the golf ball, which we think is in the center, is really not the actual perfect spot to hit a wedge. Thus, perimeter weighting, and that makes the golf shot go pretty well, but even though it's not truly the center of the golf club. This weighting has now made this much closer and created a disbursement decrease for wedge shots for all players. And we do robot testing, which is a thing that we're the only manufacturer that does this, and did a 52-degree lofted wedge.
Wait, hold on. You're the only manufacturer that uses robot testing?
For wedges.
For wedges?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We have our...
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we use a 52-degree lofted wedge, 108-yard shot. Tested it on 5 different impact zones and found that from our previous generation, RTX 2.0, our pattern of grouping shots created a 40-yard disbursement zone. So all the shots fell within a 40-yard compass of the flag, okay?
Okay.
20 yards on each side, basically, right? We took the new generation RTX 3, and that went down to 26 yards. Significant pattern of grouping of shots on all
so
this
Yeah, so from
pattern.
20 on each side, 20 feet on each side
to
of
13.
The pin to 13 on each side
of
the pin?
Yeah, it's a huge, I mean, you're talking
huge
difference. And this is robot testing, so hitting the ball off. This is off-center shots included with perfectly centered shots.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives a good cross-section of where most of us hit it, right? We don't hit in the center.
Yeah, I know that's
compared
true
to
for
competitive
me.
Offerings, it's really... dominates them, 26 yards and almost 40 yards with another company. So it's an enhanced product. We enhance the grooves by 5% larger. We're using double laser milling. That makes them spin a little bit more in that half
Love
wedge
that.
Shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 5% larger volume for that club to channel out that debris and stuff and create more friction for you.
Right.
So it's a better spinning wedge and more accurate wedge. So and it also has some pretty cool finishes, which we all like the first to look at.
Oh, yeah.
So the technology that they brought to was kind of – it's really very much changing the industry. This has not been done. We were kind of concerned how the tour player would react, how they would – because their sense of feel is a little more in tuned to how they like their wedges. And we have had – the introduction has been phenomenal on tour. Jonathan Vegas just won the Canadian Open about a month ago, even before we launched this wedge.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the tour we had Joe Durant won on the senior tour with that.
Yeah.
And then we Russell Knox won, but he was using the 588 series. But Jerry Kelly finished second at TPC,
mm-hmm.
and he's using the new wedges. So we've got some wins out there. Players are making that change. A lot going on right now this time of year, so it's hard to get players to make changes. So
I'll stop you again.
Yeah.
You players making changes like this. And we hear about this all the time, and somebody switches, and it takes forever, new clubs, blah, 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 all that stuff. We have a lot more guys, Srix on guys, than we've had before. And you see them, you watch the PGA Tour every week, and you're seeing Srix on hats, clubs, bags,
right?
Just like the bag I have.
Yeah.
JB Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Has he switched to this new wedge yet?
He has. Yeah, he'll be playing the Ryder Cup this coming week.
Because he's playing pretty well.
He's playing really well. Yeah, and JB's another one of those guys who thankfully came over to the company a couple of years ago, coming off of his injuries and mm-hmm. surgery, and who knows whether he could even compete and play,
right.
And just fell in love with the golf ball. Now we're in the next generation golf ball coming out C-Star 5 coming out in the spring. He's already playing it. He loves it. He just says it's really the best ball he's ever played. So things that we see the top players in the game, you know, typically are kind of stodgy. They don't want to change what they know in their comfort level.
Right.
But we're seeing them make the change and go, geez, it's really better. So that's what the golfing public has to look forward to. A lot of great product out there, not just our product lines, but certainly across the landscape
right.
of other manufacturers making changes. But for us, the Wedge franchise has been huge, for the business of Cleveland Golf as we know it. So this is a big, big, big deal. And hopefully people get a chance to get out and try
right.
it and see this Wedge improve their short game.
No. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. And you just made, to wrap this up, you made a statement about, we know how these tour guys and everything, they're a little careful with Nike says they're not making equipment or balls anymore, and Rory immediately comes out and says,
yeah.
I have 3 years worth of balls in my garage.
I'll make a standing bet right now he's not playing the three-year-old golf ball
no.
in the 2018 Masters.
That's the first thing I thought. But for a little while, yeah, he's got enough balls.
Yeah,
to,
I guess.
And he's playing pretty well, too.
He's playing well, and he's figured his putting out, so look out for Rory, both as we have the Tour Championship in place, and then the Ryder Cup, he's going to be a force,
right.
putter. He's
right.
a great player.
All right.
Tell me about this. European Tour.
Here's the deal. Now, listen up, everybody, because even Perry didn't hear about this and he doesn't know about this. Okay. For 2017, six-hole matches. Here it is. This unique format, it's going to be played in Australia February 16th to the 19th. It's called the World Super Six Perth, which is a cool name right there.
Mm-hmm.
The unique format will begin rather conventionally with a 36-hole stroke play cut. So you have Friday and Saturday, 36 holes cut.
Going to play stroke play to get to the final.
Okay. The remaining participants will compete in a third round of stroke play to determine the top 24 players who will then advance to match play. Playoff as needed to determine the final spot. So you got 24 guys the last day. The 24 players still standing will then square off in a series of six-hole matches on the tournament's final day. Should any match remain all square through six holes, match play, players will head to a makeshift tee adjacent to the 18th fairway and play a single knockout hole back to the 18th green from 98 yards away. If both players tie the knockout hole, talk about wedges.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
They'll return to the new tee and hit one more shot, with the player who finishes closest to the pin advancing. That's the tiebreaker.
Yeah, that's cool.
Theoretically, somebody could win the tournament based on this.
I guess the
98-yard shot.
Yeah.
If they both tie, then they go back for one last shot, and the person that hits it closest could win the whole thing. Thoughts?
How? Yeah. Wow. That's. Thanks for giving me a heads up.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's going to be. It sounds like a really neat format. When was the event going to be played?
February 16th.
Right out of the gate.
The
so it's cool.
19th.
It's going to be in our winter season. So of course,
right.
the summer down in Australia makes sense.
Right.
The 24 finalists who have made their way through three rounds of stroke play.
Right.
With two cuts.
Correct.
Right? That's a good thing for the format. Make sure you get a full field all three
right.
days.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final day, you're going to have six-hole matches. So I was trying to figure out how those matches would come to fruition in a elimination factor.
Right.
So if it's head-to-head.
24, then
to 12. 12 six-hole matches.
Right.
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 One plays 24, two plays, I would assume.
I would imagine.
Two plays 23, et cetera.
Right.
So after six, then they go to 7 tee box, and after the you know, and then
mm-hmm.
you got to have winners. Then you have, now we're down to 12.
Right.
And we have six matches.
Right.
We're down to 12 matches, and we're down to six with six holes to play.
Right.
Six players. Yeah. So we have three matches left.
Three matches.
It goes six. No, six, three. It has to be. There's six matches.
I'm so confused
right
now.
There's 12 matches to start.
Correct.
On the first six holes.
24 guys, right.
Then it goes to six matches.
Right.
Then it goes to three
12
matches.
12 guys, six guys.
And I don't know how. I don't know.
And 18
holes,
how
does that come to a winner? You have three matches. You're going to have three winners.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Somebody call me or Perry and let him. But it's
hey, look it up. It's got to be look it up on what European Tour. PGAtour.com, yeah.
But,
it doesn't say that how they're going to result in the
and
winner.
And here's what Keith Pelley, the European Tour CEO, said. This initiative was something that we spoke about at great length at our tournament committee led by Chairman Thomas Bjorn.
Okay.
We all know Thomas Bjorn. We're thrilled to participate in this because at the European Tour, we believe that golf needs to look at new and innovative formats.
And
I think it's pretty stinking cool.
I do.
Myself.
I certainly, and again,
we haven't figured out how they're going to do it.
Golf Pro Indy says, okay, how are they going to result the winner? I like the first three days make sense because you need to have a way to qualify the group and not just seed them randomly, but are based on world ranking. So that's pretty cool. It'll be interesting to see if some Americans make their way over to play in that event.
Yeah.
Kudos to the European Tour for coming up with something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and as you and I, we both love match play.
Yes.
Just the dynamics as we are going to get to see in the Ryder Cup.
Yep.
It always makes it, to me, the world match play event, it's always tough. Who's going to be there on Sunday and how's that Thursday's whole match going to go?
A lot of the top
guys
getting knocked out the first day.
Yeah, it's just a little tough. They changed it now, obviously, the four-hole grouping.
Right.
So it's going to be neat. So let's embrace it and see what the European Tour brings to us.
All right. I'm saying goodbye to you now. The next time I speak to you,
I'll be standing in the grounds, probably just inside the grounds at Hazeltine, because it's Sunday morning.
Oh, boy.
7 o'clock. I might be in the parking lot trying to get
there.
Well, that'll be fine. The first tee probably isn't until 9 or 9:30 first match.
Getting ready for singles on the Ryder Cup Sunday.
It's going to be great.
You're the best. Thanks. We're very lucky and actually blessed here in Central Kentucky with the number of great collegiate golf programs we have in the area, of course, and I'm friends with most of them. Brian Craig over at UK, and of course Brian Lane at Transy, and Matthew Martin at Moorhead. But I have a new friend, at least I hope he'll be a new friend, because I'm a big EKU guy because of Dan McHale over there with the basketball program. But Pat Stevens, the men's head golf coach over there, is, I don't know, he might be the most accomplished of them all, so I might drop all those other guys and just stick with Coach Stevens. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Matthew. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's my pleasure. You know, I always read up about different things when I have a guest that I haven't spoken to before. And our show is only an hour long. There's not enough time to put in everything that you've accomplished at EKU. It's pretty impressive. I don't know if you know that.
Well, I'm lucky to be in my hometown and be able to do what I love to do and be around some young men who like what I like.
That's winning golf tournaments.
Yes, sir.
You were the Ohio Valley Conference champions last year, three conference titles in 10 seasons. So many stats here about the great players you've had over the years. And I guess this is your 20th year at the helm there?
Yes, sir. It's gone by so fast. When you look back, you see all the young men that you've had on your team, and they are accomplished businessmen. Some of them are still playing a little bit, but it's pretty cool to look back. It's gone by pretty fast, too.
Yeah, well, you went to UK, and you played there for a couple of years, and then transferred to EKU and finished your very successful collegiate career there. Tell us, you've won the first two tournaments of the year. We had Matthew Martin on last week, and do you at EKU, I guess you have the same setup. It's five fall tournaments and five in the spring. Is that right?
Well, we've got 24 play dates, and we sometimes go heavy in the fall depending on what we can get into in the schedule. So we've actually gone six tournaments in the fall, and some tournaments are 2 days and some are 3 days. So that kind of skews your tournament schedule out a little bit. But we've gone six this year and then five in the spring, but it's worked out really well for us this year.
Well, you're looking at the roster and the things you've already accomplished this fall. You have some great players that are actually contributing in these tournaments, and then you have a guy that just played as an individual who's fantastic. You're loaded again this year. How do you do this? How do you do it? I want to know.
Well, we're very fortunate to have some strong players in our state, in Central Kentucky. they have an opportunity to come to EKU, and you know, I really feel blessed that they can grow and to become good players. You know, a lot of programs want you to do it right away. Obviously, we want that too, but they have an ability to kind of grow and learn and go through the steps. And we've got three juniors and a senior and a sophomore that are a starting five. But Travis Rose is our lone senior. We've got three mm-hmm. juniors that when they actually came in as freshmen, Matthew, I caught them the first day of our booster out after we played. I said, guys, in a couple of years, this team is going to be yours. And I just want you to know it. So, and pretty much that's what's coming to. It's coming to those three juniors and my lone senior. And 10 guys, and we are strong from top to bottom. And you just mentioned our individual finish six, Billy Basham, who's an incredible player.
Yeah.
You'll hear his name a lot in the future at EKU. He's just having trouble busting that lineup right now, but when he does, it's going to be hard to get him out. But these guys are accomplished. They play a lot in the summer. They compete. They win. And I think that's where they are now. They've got a taste of winning. And the qualifying scores they've had before we got out in our first tournament were incredible. We had seven qualifying rounds and 10 players of 70 scores. We had over 30 scores in the 60s in our qualifying round.
Oh, my Lord.
And then they just kind of kept that going at Marshall, and they played exactly, you know, the way they normally play at our home course at Arlington, and won by 14 shots.
It's just it's staggering. I mean, you probably don't sit around a lot and look at the stats that you've built up there, but since you've been there, you've been in the top 10 in 193 events and in the top 5 in 130 of them. I mean, that's, you know, they're talking about Nick Saban and stuff. This is pretty special stuff here, Coach. Yeah, I'm just saying.
And I'm blessed. I've got some young men who listen pretty good, and they want to play good golf. And, you know, I think that's the, you know, for me as a coach, it's just trying to put them on a path. And I want them to enjoy college golf like I enjoy college golf. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of it. And, you know, having a chance to win is fun. Like I told the guys after we won our home tournament, I said, guys, this is fun. This is what you play for. It's not trying to get your name on a golf bag or making a trip. It's actually winning the golf tournament. I think they bought into that, obviously, and winning's contagious.
You know what it sounds like, Coach? And we're talking with Coach Pat Stevens of EKU Golf. It sounds like we talk about this in SEC football a lot, something that is kind of missing with our team here at Kentucky right now. But you're developing the depth so that your older guys are leading this team, and when they're gone, you have guys that have contributed or, you know, chomping at the bit to get in there, ready to step in and take their place. It's all about depth.
Exactly. I think, you know, golf is an individual sport. You know, it's an individual sport, but in college, it's team. It's all about team, and some of these guys have a difficult time. A lot of guys have a difficult time going to college because it's all about them. They're a big fish in a little pond. Now they get into a big arena, and they're not looked at like they were when they were in high school or junior golf, and they have to realize it's a process sometimes. And if you can come in and play right away as a freshman, then you're a special person.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to accept the fact that they've got to get a little bit better, a little bit better. And then when they do that, then they realize they're on a really good team. And, you know, our depth is great right now. And I've always told them, you know, the idea of the younger guys coming in pushing the older guys, that's going to make the competition healthy, and we're just going to get better. And then when they win conference and go to regionals and hopefully go to finals, that when we get that ring at the end of the season, it's just not those five guys who won conference. It's all of us. We all get the ring. We're all part of it, you know.
Right.
So we share in the success.
Tell us just briefly, when these guys that are on the team, I know that they're playing in tournaments. You're getting ready to go to another one as we speak. What's their week like? What's their practice schedule like? Do they practice every day? Do you go over to Arlington and work with the guys every day?
We do. Normally when we're in season, we're usually traveling Friday or Saturday. We practice Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and play Monday and Tuesday. We're off on a Wednesday, so there's a two-hour practice on Thursday, and then we're just right in the middle of season. So we've got to, you know, keep them fresh. You know, we take a day off after we get back from a tournament or a tournament home, and Yeah, they're doing something every day. And you know, on my schedule, the days off, I put no schedule practice. But I guarantee you that if I were to go out to our learning center and on those days off, those guys will be out there for at least a brief period of time doing something on their own, just to kind of sharpen up a little bit, maybe. But they're very dedicated, and you know, I had my fingers crossed coming into the year because I really felt like that these guys are good, and then the win at Marshall and coming back, you know, people ask me, this early in the season, especially in the fall, when it's spring is our championship season,
right?
OVC and everything, the idea of saying we're really good or we're good, we're a great team, you know, I don't know that I've ever really said that so early with a group of guys than I am now. So, but they're focused, and it's pretty exciting right now. It really is.
Well, I'm excited. And before I let you go, you know, just in a personal way, I think I saw you went to Madison County. Is that right?
I went to Madison Central, yes, sir.
Madison Central. And so you've been, like you said, you know, for you to be doing this there at a place that you've called home for a long time, you have three grandchildren, you have three sons, and as it says mm-hmm. in your bio, three mm-hmm. daughters-in-law, and you're over at Arlington also,
yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
How do you do that? I can't manage my time, and I have nothing like that.
Well, my first 13 years, I was a golf professional and coaching too. That was became very difficult as college golf has grown and the importance. And so for the last 7 years, this is my seventh year as full time coaching. But we're out at Arlington a lot, and college golf has grown into just a great sport. I mean, it's awesome compared to when I was playing. These kids are, you know, they don't make many more spots of Division I spots on a golf team, and these kids are vying for spots, and the recruiting process is getting fierce and fierce.
Yeah.
But we've got 10 guys on our team that I'm so happy with right now.
Well, it's been great getting to talk to you for a few minutes, and we'll certainly follow EKU through the fall, and then hopefully we go off the air the week after the Ryder Cup, but we're back in the spring, and hopefully we'll catch up with you then and find out what's going on with the Colonels. And thanks so much for being with us. I really enjoyed it.
Matthew, thanks a bunch, man. Appreciate
it. See you, Coach. It's all coming to a head. It's all winding down here. Tour Championship, then, of course, next week, the Ryder Cup. This week, actually, as we're speaking now. And Dan Houser's the guy that, you know, he's my go-to guy because, A, he's very knowledgeable. B, he's very funny on Twitter, as I always say. And that's, you know, in these times of political stuff and all the other stuff I look at on Twitter, I need humor. And I find it with my friend Dan Houser. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm good. You?
I'm fine. Thanks. All right, now. I'll start off. I just said this to you before we are doing this, that I was a little upset. I saw on Twitter some guy named Sam Houser. You were on his show, and I don't like the fact that you do other shows, but I have to live with it because you're too big to tie up exclusively. but he's in Minnesota, actually, and you, as you put it, like literally in his backyard, the Ryder Cup will be. And I asked you if you were going, and your answer was...
Yeah, it's just I was working on it. Some logistical things did not come together. So, you know, I'll end up watching it on TV. I'll be able to probably, you know, in this modern day of technology and with the golf courses set up the way they are with everybody so spread out, you can actually see more on the TV coverage as long as the TV coverage is good. Now we're getting NBC, obviously, for the Ryder Cup, so we'll have a good telecast. If you get a good telecast, you can usually catch more on the telecast than if you were, you know, live on the property. Now, obviously... the player interaction live on the property is something you can't replicate on TV in terms of getting to talk to them and interview them and be around them. But in terms of just pure watching of the golf, you know, TV coverage has come a long way.
Yeah, but I'm sitting here just so angry because as everybody knows that listens to the show and my daily show that's on every day, I talk about this too. I'm going to have the mute button on the whole Ryder Cup because, you know, the guy that I don't like will be doing the commentary and That's very disappointing to me.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of Johnny Miller over the over those 3 days, that's for sure.
Although I do have to say some of the funniest stuff on Twitter. By the way, you can follow Dan at Dan Hauser, H-A-U-S-E-R, golf, on Twitter. That's some of the funniest stuff. And my friend Peter Jacobson and I actually text during the telecasts. It's awesome.
There you go.
It's awesome. I wish I could put what I send to him, but I really can't. all right. We're winding up, obviously, later today. The Tour Championship will be winding up. And everybody knows we got one pick left. But everybody has been saying, and I'm sure you've heard this too, that Captain Davis Love III has already made his pick. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I've heard that too, and it just cements, and this was one of the reasons why I was texting you today and said, let's get on for a little Ryder Cup talk, because I'm fired up, I think, as much about this whole selection process as I am about the actual matches that are going to take place here starting on Friday. They've preached and preached and preached Ryder Cup task force, and we need to blow the system up and redo it. Well, meanwhile, you've got a retread captain, Davis Love III, who was the captain of 2012 at Medina, which we all unfortunately famously or infamously now know how that one went. For all of us that didn't remember, Golf Channel was super enough to give us a reminder of that the other night when they replayed that.
I couldn't even watch it.
In fact, I even tweeted that. I said, why are you doing this to us, Golf Channel? Why do we have to relive this again?
I couldn't watch it.
What was that?
I couldn't watch it.
I didn't. Brutal. You know what? I thought I was going to be able to. I turned it on for a few minutes. I quickly remembered why I did not want to watch in the first place, and I turned it right back off. I just couldn't put myself through that again. But unfortunately, that's exactly what's happening right now. You know, we've got Davis Love III, who obviously was the captain in 2012. Now he can't control the 8 automatic qualifiers, but with the exception of Brooks Koepka, this team looks awfully similar to the team we saw in 2014, to the team we saw in 2012. The majority of the guys on this team are all Ryder Cup veterans, which you can say all you want. Oh, hey, it's good to have veteran leadership, but these veterans are some of the most losingest players in Ryder Cup history, if you really want to get technical with it. I mean, they don't have success, obviously. So, and now we hear that he's already pretty much got the pick lined up, which, unless somebody blows him away, it's looking like it's going to be Bubba Watson, which, hey, another name that we've seen in 2014, another name we saw in 2012, just another retread. So, and then on top of that, there's a lot of animosity now with a lot of these Americans who are playing currently, you know, at East Lake right now, because on Monday, the team went and played a practice round out there in Minnesota, and they, you know, Davis Love invited a couple, you know, prospects, so to say. He invited Bubba Watson. He invited Daniel Berger, and he invited Justin Thomas, all three who are not currently on the team. Well, now, meanwhile, you've got a bunch of guys like a Ryan Moore and a Kevin Chappell and guys that are in their minds thought, hey, if I play really good at East Lake this week, I could get that final spot. And, just hearing some of their interviews, and you can kind of hear whether they're just kind of sarcastically saying, oh, hey, no Ryder Cup questions, you know, in the case of Kevin Chappell yesterday. You know, and it might not have been sarcastic, but you know, he did bring that up. And then, you know, somebody like a Ryan Moore or Kevin Kisner coming out and saying, you know, I'm kind of a little offended that I did not get an invite to that practice round on Monday. What am I not, you know, in the running? And, you know, basically all these guys were under the impression with this final pick so late that, hey, if I play great and get hot late in the playoffs, I could get that, you know, quote-unquote Billy Horschel pick. And they didn't get invited, and now that, you know, people are coming out and saying that Davis Love already has a pick made up. So this thing is just, you know, we won't know for sure until later tonight, until the final pick is actually made. But this thing could end up being an absolute mega disaster, this whole task force. And it could basically just be, hey, the task force guys are the ones getting the picks.
All right, I'm talking with Dan Hauser, Dan Hauser Golf, and now I'm really, not only am I angry, but I'm really upset and feeling like crap. So thanks for that whole thing today. No, I mean, I 1,000% agree with you. This is exactly what we were not supposed to go through with all the talk that came before it about the task force and the this and the that and everything. And as you said, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I've tweeted them and I've talked about them, I think even last week. The numbers for these guys, the rookies have a great record when they're playing in the Ryder Cup, and the veterans suck. They're horrible. And here's a tweet you put out on Thursday when Eastlake started. And it was Dustin Johnson was 3 under. He finished 4 under that day. So it said, throw out DJ, who is 3 under, and the current U.S. Ryder Cup roster is a combined 14 over right now. Add the prospects, and it's 21 over. I mean, I want to see new guys. I want to see Daniel Berger. I want to see Justin Thom. If we're going to lose, which we could very well do, let's at least get some young guys the experience so that in 2 years, you know, we can do something else and maybe win a freaking Ryder Cup.
Absolutely. And, you know, I kind of figured that that was what was going to happen when this task force was instituted. Now, there's a whole bigger issue here that might need to get blown up next if we end up losing this one, you know, again next week, and that's the automatic qualifying system. Because right now, in my opinion, I think it goes back a little too far. You know, it goes back almost 2 years in terms of those eight automatic qualifiers. Maybe we need to only do the calendar year of the Ryder Cup. So in the case of if that were to be instituted, say, this year, the points would only count from January 1st of this year going forward, and then that would be a much, much different makeup in terms of who automatic qualified.
Right.
You probably wouldn't have a guy like a Zach Johnson or a Brent Snedeker automatic qualifying because they really haven't done anything this year. I mean, basically, Zach Johnson's qualifying off of his 2015 British Open win. If you really want to get technical with it, obviously he had a pretty good 2015, and that's what he's basically qualifying for the 2016 Ryder Cup off of. If you know, so think about it from that standpoint. But absolutely, I mean, if we're not going to get these young guys involved, then they're not really going to show any interest going forward in playing in the Ryder Cup because they know it's going to be basically impossible for them to crack that, you know, Ryder Cup roster, so to say. I mean, you've got a guy like a Justin Thomas who came out after Thursday's round or Monday's practice round there at in Minnesota when he got to play with everyone, and he said, you know, I thought I wanted this, and then I went ahead and played with everybody there on Monday. Now I really want this. So he's hungry. He wants it. It's not just here comes another Ryder Cup for him. It's I want to get out there. I want to play in this Ryder Cup. I want to win.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how can somebody with that type of mindset not be valuable? I understand, you know, he's never played in a Ryder Cup before, but with all the shrapnel, so to say, that's gone on and all the kind of battle scars that this U.S. team has faced, maybe having some rookie innocence, so to say, wouldn't necessarily be such a bad thing because they're not used to getting out there and losing in such horrific ways that have happened in the past.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and it reminds me of the NCAA with the idiocy going on, but that's a different show. all of us can't wait for this pick, and my fear is, as you said, that it's going to be Bubba. And if I were Kevin Kisner and those guys, I'd be really angry, too, as they've been after Monday. The only thing we can hope for is that so many crazy things are happening in the world right now that Tiger is going to be the final pick, and he's going to go out and win the Ryder Cup for us. That's all I can really hope for.
Oh, man, could you imagine?
Well, world...
I can't even fathom.
I know.
It would be the greatest thing ever, but I can't even begin to imagine or fathom Tiger Woods getting a pick, going out, winning some matches, and ultimately being the deciding factor on the course. I mean, not only would Twitter shut down, not only would it be the highest-rated golf event probably ever in the history of television, but, I mean, I can't even describe what that would be like.
That's what I'm going with until the actual pick is made. That's the only way.
I'm okay with that. I'm sure a lot of our Twitter friends are also, as we've seen, are also very much okay with Tiger getting that pick.
All right. Well, you're the greatest, and we will talk to you. We only have about 3 shows left, I think, but we'll get you back on maybe to wrap up the year because I love talking to you.
Sounds good. It's always good talking to you.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks so much to all our guests. How about those two guys? First, Coach Pat Stevens of EKU. What a phenomenal career he's had in the 20 years he's been the coach with the Colonels, but even before that, just a fantastic guy. I'm really glad we got to speak with him, and we'll follow EKU along the way as they go through the fall and then in the spring as they go for another OVC championship and beyond. And Dan Houser, you know, thanks to him for ruining whatever good feelings I have going into the Ryder Cup. I'm already nervous about watching it this week. And we'll be live next Sunday. We will be doing the show live as we wrap up. That's the Singles Sunday. Well, we don't wrap it up. We're in anticipation of Singles Sunday. Hopefully we're not already too far behind to make a difference. I don't have a good feeling about this, even though we're playing at home. Thanks to our great partners, French Lick Resort, for the wonderful golf courses they have and the hotels and the casino. Man of War Golf, go over there, get fitted. Best practice area anywhere over there at Man of War Golf. Lexington Parks and Rec for the five great golf courses we have here. And my home course, Kearney Hill, which has become my home course thanks to Justin over there. Edwin Watts Golf, a lot of great stuff going on. And Griffin Gate, the resort with the great Reese Jones golf course over there. If you haven't played Griffin Gate, you need to do that. We'll be back next week for the Sunday singles of the Ryder Cup right here on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.